I invite you to turn back to Hebrews chapter 12 with me this evening as we continue to listen to what our God would teach us with regard to the goal of the Christian life, actively pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be making some reference tonight again to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll just read the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12 to set God's word before us. And as we've already prayed for his blessing on his word, let us listen with eagerness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, God's word. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patient endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him patiently endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Dear people of God, it is with joy to come back again at the close of this Lord's Day and to proclaim the good news of God's Word, to listen together with you to what God has to say to us tonight as His congregation. We learned this morning that Christ calls you and me to run the race which is set before us with patient endurance, and that the only way that you and I could in any way, shape, or form run that race, actively pursue Christ all the way to the end, the only way that we can do that is if our great God gives us feet to run the race. But we see in this passage that we don't only need feet to run the race which God sets before us, to actively pursue the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end. We also need ears to hear needed encouragement. Look again at verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And it's this cloud of witnesses which God would point you and me to tonight, that we would listen to what these witnesses have to say, and that we would gain needed encouragement as we actively pursue the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end. And so God not only gives us feet to run the race of the Christian life, he gives to you and me ears to hear needed encouragement. Needed encouragement. The first question that we have of the passage before us tonight is this: who are these witnesses? Who is this cloud of witnesses which is spoken of here? Well, the context would give us an answer. The context would indeed drive us back to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and we would learn that this cloud of witnesses is in fact the runners that we meet in Hebrews chapter 11. The runners who have already run their race. That is what this cloud of witnesses is comprised of. These runners, Abel and Enoch, Noah and Abraham, Sarah and Isaac, Jacob and Moses, Rahab and Gideon, Barak and Samson, Jephthah and David, Samuel and the prophets. Who is this great cloud of witnesses which surrounds us as God calls us to run our race which he has set before us? It is none other than these individuals who indeed have already run their race and are set before us in Hebrews chapter 11. These are the ones who have patiently endured all the way to the end. These are the ones who have patiently endured all the way to the end by faith. That's the emphasis. That's the drumbeat of Hebrews chapter 11. If Hebrews chapter 10 tells us we have need of patient endurance if we are going to obtain the promises, well, how in the world are we going to have patient endurance to actually get all the way to the end to obtain the promises which Christ has purchased for us and to enjoy them fully? It is by faith. That's what Hebrews 11 drums home to us again and again. These ones focused upon the object of their faith, Almighty God, who promised and was faithful and ever remains faithful to all who look to Him in faith. That's who this cloud of witnesses is. That's who it is. Now, a second question comes up as we recognize that if we are going to actively pursue Christ all the way to the end, we need ears to hear needed encouragement. We don't only need to know who we need to listen to, but a second question is this: where are these witnesses? Where are they right now, according to God's word? Well, God tells us that they now, as it were, surround us. The picture, again, is the athletic stadium where we are on the field and we are running our race and we are surrounded by, as it were, ones who have already finished their course and having gone through the finish line have, as it were, been brought up into the stands to now surround us to encourage us on in the race which God sets before us. Having finished their race, they have entered into their rest. They now are, as it were, seated in the stadium round about us as we run the race that is set before us. To be sure, as God's word says, they have now arrived at Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. They are the spirits of just men made perfect. They are with Jesus, but they're still waiting for something. They're waiting for the resurrection on the last day. They're waiting for final salvation, if we can put it that way, if we understand it correctly, the final enjoyment of the fullness of what Christ has purchased. They're waiting for the same day that you and I are waiting for. That means that heaven, as it were, is looking for that day to come, just as you and I are running the race looking for that day to come, and it is that day which connects our interest. It's that day which, indeed, even the saints in heaven now, in their spirits made holy, long for and see that they have a vested interest, if I could put it that way, in you and I who are running our race, because they will not experience the resurrection until all have finished the race which is set before them. Now, as they wait for that great last day, they sit around us and they indeed encourage us because these ones are not silent. And that really leads us to the third question tonight. Not only who are these ones, the saints who have already run their race, specifically mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Not only where are these ones in the heavenly Jerusalem surrounding us, as it were, but what are they saying? What do they speak to you and to me? They are not merely silent spectators. Verse 1 clearly tells us they are witnesses. And witnesses have something to say. And therefore, God gives us ears to hear what they would say to you and me if we are going to gain needed encouragement to actively pursue Jesus Christ all the way to the end. So what do they say? What do these witnesses have to say to us tonight? Well, we don't, as it were, try to climb up into heaven by some mystical ladder to figure out what they are saying to us. We don't try to conduct a seance, which is flatly condemned with the death penalty in the Old Testament, to connect with these saints who are, as it were, in heaven surrounding us. How do we know what they say? Well, we know what they say by looking to the Word of God. What do these ones say to us? God's Word tells us what they say to us, and therefore we are driven to the Scriptures to find out what testimony we need to hear if we are going to be encouraged by these ones. The first thing that then they say to you and me is this: God is faithful. God is faithful. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we proclaim it to you who are still running your race. We proclaim it not from the mountaintops, but from heaven itself, that we have found that our faith in His faithfulness was not unfounded, that He is the faithful God who rewards those who diligently seek Him. And do we not need to hear that when we are tempted to doubt God's faithfulness, when we are tempted to wonder whether or not He is going to come through for us in the end, when we are tempted to believe the lies around us which would seek to deceive us into believing that God is holding out on us, the exact temptation which Satan gave to our first parents? God's holding out on you. He's not good. Surely He cannot be trusted. But these witnesses say it is not so. We have found that our God is faithful, and you tonight need to be assured that He is the faithful God for all who diligently seek Him. And so what's the application? Is it not prayer? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I need to be reminded today, if I am going to actively pursue your Son all the way to the end, that you are faithful, that you will not fail on me, but that you are the one who will bring me all the way safely home into the arms of Jesus. And these ones say, you can bank on it. You can bank everything on it. We have found it to be so. The second truth which they testify to you and me, and note, witnesses testify to the truth. The second truth that these ones testify to you and me is this: it is worth it. It's worth it. It is worth it. Do not forget that it is worth it. All that Christ has called you to give up in order to follow Him is worth it. The only question you will be asking when you get to the end of your race and cross the finish line into the arms of your faithful Savior is this: how could I have given up so little for so loving and great a Savior? I did not know. But the minutest amount of His love and His grace. And these ones testify all the difficulties, all the obstacles, all the weariness, all the challenges of the narrow way, they're worth it. They're worth it. Think with me of ones who tell us that it's not worth turning back. Back in chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, we read of these ones who have finished their race. And listen to what we read. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, listen, they would have had opportunity to go back. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These ones not only tell us it's worth it, they tell us it's not worth turning back. It's not worth turning back at all. And so these witnesses testify of the truth. Your God is the faithful God who can be trusted. And all that you go through in giving up all to follow Jesus is worth it. Thirdly, they testify a very important truth. This truth: you are not alone. You are not alone. We have a great cloud of witnesses. How does the book of Revelation number this great cloud of witnesses? A number which no man could number. Now, God can number them because he knows the very number of hairs on all of our heads. But if you looked at that scene in heaven, which John saw, impossible to number it. No way for us to even comprehend the fullness of the number of the myriads of these witnesses who testify to you and me. And these witnesses testify, you are not alone. Be encouraged. God is faithful. Be encouraged. All that God asks you to give up is worth it, and more than worth it. Be encouraged. You are not alone. Sometimes it's a very real temptation to say to yourself, I'm all alone. No one seems to be running with me. No one seems to grasp the magnitude of life and death. Why are people so insensitive to heaven and hell? Others seem to be saying that I should not be so fanatical and overly religious in my following of Jesus. I seem to be constantly criticized for the decisions that I make for me, for my children, for my recreations, for my use of time, for my entertainments, for my commitment to the Sabbath day, for my commitment to God's worship, for my commitment to speaking up for Jesus, to my commitment for standing up for the unborn or showing compassion to the poor. I'm all alone. Elijah was tempted with that, wasn't he? I alone am left. And what did God say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. 7,000, note, not in Judah, 7,000 in the 10 tribes to the north that had seemed to have been completely obliterated with idolatry. 7,000. But now God says, not only are there 7,000 with you, there are myriads upon myriads who are with you. You're not alone. You are not alone. Think about Noah. Back in chapter 11 and verse 7, what a temptation it would have been for him to think that he was all alone. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Think of Abraham and how he would have been tempted to think that he was all alone. Chapter 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He left his home. He left his family. He left everything which was familiar to follow the command of God. But was he alone? He was not alone. No, in fact, the most important one of all was with him, even the Lord God Almighty. Moses, in chapter 11 and verse 25, we read that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I'm sure that he seemed like he was the only one willing to take a stand. And yet he was not alone. And these ones all testify to you and to me that we are not alone. And so, tonight, God tells us that if you are going to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end, you need ears given to you to hear this needed encouragement. God is faithful. It is all worth it. You are not alone. Now, how often are we tempted to allow the noise of this world to drown out this testimony? We seem to be bombarded on every side. Technology as a technology is a blessing. But how often this technology crowds into our lives with such noise and with such disconcerting speaking that it drowns out the needed testimony of encouragement that you and I need to hear. Technology is a great tool, but it's a wretched tyrant. And we are tempted to listen to the propaganda and the advertising and the allurements that are all around us, and we need to let the testimony of this cloud of witnesses sink down deep into our ears. Isn't that what the disciples needed to hear from Jesus himself? And is that not what you and I need to hear? In Luke chapter 9, Jesus says to his disciples, "Let this saying sink deep down into your ears that the Son of Man is about to be betrayed and crucified." We need to hear the truth constantly so that we would not be discouraged, downcast, and have our hands hang down and give up in running the race as we pursue Jesus Christ all the way to the end. It was Jesus who said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Well, how will we endure? How is it possible? Well, we need feet to keep on running, to keep on putting one foot in front of the other. But we need ears which are attentive to the testimony of those who have gone before us and the testimony of Jesus himself, who speaks to us and in speaking to us equips us to press on with great encouragement. But there's one last thing which these witnesses testify to you and to me tonight. They testify to you of how much more you have than they did. They testify to you, look, you have so much more than we did. All the saints, the runners, in Hebrews chapter 11, lived when? Before the coming of the eternal Son of God in the flesh. They lived in the time of promise. They lived in the time of shadow. They lived in the time of even obscurity. And they testify to you and me tonight, brother, sister, you have so much more than we had. You should be encouraged. With all that you have, the privileges which you have, which far exceed what we had and only saw dimly. It's here that we need to listen to the carefully defined cloud of witnesses identified in Hebrews chapter 11, who were all saints, all living before the coming of Christ. These ones walk by faith. That's the emphasis of chapter 11. They ran by faith. That's the emphasis of chapter 11. But they only saw Christ afar off. They only saw him dimly. They only saw him in the shadows. And yet, these ones ran and trusted in the face of discouragement, in the face of opposition, in the face of trial, and in the face of temptation. All of chapter 11 is about God's people by faith continuing to pursue the Lord all the way to the end in the face of opposition, in the face of trial, and in the face of difficulty and temptation. And so these ones say to you and they say to me, you have so much more. What we saw only dimly, you now see in the brightness of the noonday sun. We saw him afar off, but you behold him who ran the race that none of us could run. And you see it clearly. Oh, consider it well. How encouraged you should be. You have seen the one who set his face like a flint and would not turn to the right hand or to the left. You have seen him go all the way to the death of the damned for you. We saw it only dimly. You see the empty tomb. You see the one who indeed has ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father and has poured out the fullness of the Spirit. We tasted the Spirit only in tiny drops. But you have the fullness of the Spirit poured out and enjoy what we only smelled and had a tiny taste of. And these ones then give a word of encouragement to us. Yes. Yes. While I may be tempted to want to have the experiences that Moses did at the burning bush or on Mount Sinai, Moses would tell to you tonight, no, you don't want to go back. Not at all. You have so much more than I ever did. So much more. We may be tempted to want to hear the small, still voice which Elijah heard as he fled from Jezebel for his life and was there at Mount Sinai. But Elijah would say, that would be folly. Why would you want to go backwards? You have infinitely more than what I had. You see it all. We only saw it dimly. Don't wish for that. We wished we had what you have. And now be encouraged. Be encouraged with the great riches that you have in Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You know it more clearly than we do. God has told you it is all worth it. Because Christ is risen, you too shall live. And your vile body be conformed to his glorious body. Oh, we see it now as we indeed have been brought to the heavenly Jerusalem, as we are a part of the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. But you see it in your pilgrimage, in your race. You see it right now. And so our God would tell us tonight that it should be our goal to actively pursue the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end. And he tells us that only he can equip us to do this. And he gives us the feet to run the race which is set before us. Not to sit in the bleachers. Not to criticize the pathway and the track which God has set before us. Not to saunter in our race, but he gives us feet to run. And he gives us ears to listen, not to the message of the world, not to the whisperings of the devil, but to a great cloud of witnesses who tell us, God is faithful, it is worth it, you're not alone, and you have everything you need and more, so much more than we ever had. And so the stadium erupts in a roar and says, press on. Press on. For we wait for the day when you cross the line, and all together we shall be raised incorruptible. And we will rejoice on that day like we have never rejoiced before. So do not fail to hear the encouragement you need today. As Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, it is with joy that we come to your word tonight. And having heard the encouragement which you give to us, we pray that you would cause it to sink deep down into our ears and hearts, that even as we go forth from here this evening, we would remind one another that you are faithful, that we are not alone, that this following of Jesus is absolutely worth it, and that we have so much on this side of the coming of Christ and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in our weariness, help us to pick up the pace. Turn our hearts to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for then we will run faster and with eagerness out of love, his love for us. We pray in his name. Amen.